Good evening, and welcome to the last session of our Equip series. My name is Jacob Thomas. I'm the Ministries Director at Redemption Church. I'm excited that you're here. Whether you're a member of Redemption Church or you're just tuning in, just want to say thank you for joining us. And if you stuck with us through all four sessions, man, I hope these videos have been helpful for you. We have been praying as a staff that these videos will be a catalyst to making disciples. And whether that's here in Roanoke, Virginia, or wherever you are in the world, because that is what we are here for, to glorify God by making disciples. It's our mission. And over the past 4 weeks, we looked at ways to share your faith one-on-one, in the workplace, and through hospitality. And I want to take just a second just to say thank you to Jason and Eric for leading their videos. They did a great job, and so just wanted to say thank you. Tonight, we're going to look at evangelism as a community. Now, that might sound kind of funny, and it might sound funny because if you're like me, you've always heard evangelism talked about as an individualistic effort, which is true. It is an individual act, but it is also something that we can do together as a body. Because the way that we live life together is a form of evangelism. And before we get to the practical part of this subject, I want to point out one important part of evangelism in a community. Okay? I want to talk about Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. And this is what it says. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now here in verse 16, Paul brings light to the fact that when the body of Christ, which is the church, so if you've placed your faith in the work of Christ, you're part of the church, when it works properly, it grows. Now we got to stop and ask real quick though, how does the church function properly? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 4, 2 through 3 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul calls us to be humble, gentle, patient, bear with one another in love, and maintain unity. And man, that's a good list. I think that most people would like to live up to. But that is also a difficult list to live out. When you're living life with other people who are different than you, it's hard to be all those things. You know, we're not very humble people. We like to think of ourselves as an expert about the things in life. We're not very patient. I want things now. I don't want to wait. Like for instance, me and my wife, we bought a couch back in January. Man, we had to wait 5 months for my couch. It was terrible. It was horrible. I wanted it now. And you know, patience is hard. We're to bear with one another in love. Man, that means that I have to deal with other people's messes. And that's hard. I mean, dealing with my life is hard enough. But to also join in a community with other people and bear their messes too, and to do it lovingly, oh man. But see, the gospel fuels us to those things. Because Christ was those things on our behalf. Jesus bore the cross on our behalf in love so that we could be saved, so that we could be brought into the family of God. And when we are brought into the family, our heart is changed towards others. So now we can be unified, right? And we all have a part to play in the body. That's what Paul means when he uses the body language in verse 16 of Ephesians 4. I mean, just think about the human body. You know, it is made up of different parts. When the different parts work together properly, then the whole body functions beautifully, the way that it was intended to. Man, if you've ever seen Usain Bolt run, man, it's a thing of beauty. And if you haven't, you need to YouTube it. The man can flat out fly. But imagine if he had two left feet. There is no way that he would be the fastest man alive. But because he has a left foot and a right foot, and he has trained his body in such a way, it functions like lightning on a racetrack. Likewise, we are all made up in different ways. God has given each of us different strengths and weaknesses. We have different passions and giftings. And out of those giftings, we are to work together for the mission of God. And when we are each doing our part and doing it in a way that is humble and gentle, patient, loving, and unified, the body will grow. Another way you could say this is a unified body grows. Now, we'll say this isn't evangelism in itself. The gospel has to be spoken in order for someone to hear it. But I point all that out because we need to know that the world is watching. Non-Christians are watching. They are watching when we are gracious to one another, and they're watching when we are not gracious to one another. And so this includes how we act on a daily basis. And my question is, what are they seeing? Man, are they seeing a people willing to split and divide at the first sight of disagreement? Or a unified people who are marked by the love of the Savior? And I know the objection here. Man, what about truth? That's important, and I completely agree. Truth is important. And there are first order of truths that we need to stand on. You know, Jesus being fully God and fully human, the Bible being the inerrant and infallible Word of God, the death and resurrection of Jesus, things like those we need to take stands on. But there are things that the Bible is not crystal clear on that are of lesser importance, like whether we should drink alcohol, or not, or what political group we should align with. And in those things, we need to be a people who stand on truth in love and be unified. That's the difference. And how we act towards one another will either attract or repel the culture we live in. I want you to think about it like this. Think about it like a house, okay? If a house is in good working order, then people will go in it. Like, for instance, take the Biltmore House. It's a big, beautiful house in the mountains of North Carolina. It's always in pristine condition. It's always in good working order. It has beautiful gardens, beautiful architecture. It's a marvel of a house if you've been in it. I mean, it's got a bowling alley in it, okay? Enough said. And because of that, it draws 1.4 million people a year to come visit it. And they even pay for it. But imagine, if you will, that the Biltmore House, the Biltmore Estate, was run down. The paint was fading. The beams and the railings were falling down. The curtains and linens were split and nasty. Shingles falling off the roof. The lawn wasn't cut, and the flowers in the gardens were all dead and covered in weeds. I mean, how many people would go visit that house? Probably not 1.4 million people, that's for sure. And just like that, when the church is working together properly, the world will be attracted to the family we have, attracted to the Savior that we share. But in disunity, it will repel it. Okay, so that leads into our practical part of our time together. So how does this play out in everyday life? Man, I got a couple of tips for evangelism as a community. And the first one is that we need to be a people who pray for one another. Okay, God calls us to bear with one another in love. And this has worked out in so many different ways. But one of the ways that I believe that this works out is through intercession of prayer for one another in the circumstances of life. Specifically for today's subject, man, praying for those that we are trying to engage. Man, when was the last time that you asked someone to pray for your neighbor that you are trying to share the gospel with? When was the last time that you prayed for someone else's family member that didn't know Jesus as Savior? Man, usually we ask people for prayer when something really bad has happened. Like, you know, if someone is really sick or someone's going through financial struggles or they're going through a divorce or something like that. And we need to pray for those things. Or on the flip side of that is, or if there's something big that we want that's coming up, you know, like we want a job promotion or we're getting a new house or we're thinking about moving to another state, things like that. We need to pray for those things for our brothers and sisters. And guys, I've led groups for almost 8 years now, and I can count on one hand that the times that people have come to me and openly asked me to pray for the salvation of people in their life. And guys, I'm convinced that God moves when his people ask. That is what God's word tells us. I mean, listen to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Man, all God wants for you is to believe that he can change lives and that he desires to do so. Both of these beliefs come out when we pray. So I ask you, will you pray and will you bring your community along with you to pray that people will be changed by the gospel? As an action step, I would encourage you to share with one person in your community to pray alongside you for another person that is in your life that you want to see come to Jesus. The second thing I'd have for you tonight is, man, go tell together. God gives us a community to help us in life. We're not called to do everything or know everything. Again, we're a body of believers and we are different. We have different gifts, and that's good. Because when we're different, we can encourage one another and grow with one another. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out 72 disciples out to the surrounding area to share the good news that the kingdom of God is near. When he sent them out two at a time. He didn't send them out by themselves, he sent them together. And also, just a side note, this one's for free. Before he sent them out, he told them to pray for more laborers because the harvest is plenty. There's that prayer theme again. And so, but anyways, I regress. Back to the point, they went together. Now, everyone has probably seen or heard about Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door sharing their faith. They always come in twos. Always twos. Always. I've never seen a Jehovah's Witness by themselves. Now, I don't agree with Jehovah's Witnesses on a lot of things, but this is one that I think they got right. Maybe not the door-to-door thing, but the sharing of their faith in a community. Man, for a couple reasons. One, just a super practical thing here, two heads are better than one. Your friend might think of something that you didn't. We build one another up, right? And then two, this is discipleship. You know, when you share together, you are teaching others how to share the faith. Man, I know this is true in my life. There was a day a couple months ago, maybe the end of last year, that Carter, myself, and a good friend of ours, Ben, went out to eat for lunch. We weren't going specifically to evangelize. we were just going for lunch. And the place that we ended up going, it was slow, and the waiter was, and he was just a talkative guy. So because of that, Ben, inside the restaurant, he shared the gospel with the guy right there at the table. And then when we got our food, Ben asked the guy if we could pray for him and if there was anything in his life that we could pray for. And I ended up praying for the guy at the table. And in that moment, Ben pushed me to live out my faith. That wouldn't have happened unless I was living in community. This doesn't mean that you start going door to door with a friend, unless you want to. That's your thing. You go ahead. Up to you. Nothing wrong with it. But it does mean you invite people outside the family of God into your family, into your circle of friends. If you're having a cookout with your community group, man, invite your neighbor or coworker. If you're going golfing with your pastor, which I'm down anytime you want to invite me, bring it on, okay? I like golf, and I will totally go with you. Man, see if your buddy wants to come with us. If you're going to lunch, bring somebody. You get the drift, okay? And man, when you put it that way, man, that sounds a lot like hospitality to me. It's inviting the stranger into your life with the intention of loving them. And hospitality includes the Christian community. And when they see the unity and love that we have for one another, that will be intriguing and attractive to them. And the opportunity to share the gospel will come. And on that note, guys, another thing, in the video on one-on-one evangelism, Jason made the point that we need to practice sharing the gospel. It's really hard to practice by yourself. You know, you can practice in community, but by yourself's really hard. It's hard to critique yourself, at least, you know, not well. So grab another brother and sister in Christ and practice sharing the gospel with them. Practice sharing your story and how God changed your life. That way you will be ready when the time comes, when that opportunity comes. And then the third thing, guys, the last like tip I have is we need to serve the well-being of the city together. Again, not evangelism in itself. But Jesus himself said that he did not come to be served, but to serve. Likewise, we are to serve the community around us as a community. We are to work for the benefit of those around us. Jeremiah 29, God tells the nation of Israel to seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Man, in this passage, God is talking to the whole nation of Israel, not just the leaders, not just the priest, not just one person, but every person. Every person is working for the good of Babylon. So here's a super practical point. If we want to see change in the world, we have to serve together. Together through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when we can start to see change in the world. And we have to go and tell people together, and we have to serve the welfare of people together. To care and love for our neighbors, our coworkers, our family, our friends. How you serve is up to you. I mean, take what you're passionate about and find some others that are also passionate about the same thing, and then take them along with you. Man, if you have a love for first responders, contact the police station and find out how you can serve them. If you have a heart to see the end of abortion, partner with Love Life to pray and go to see the end of abortion in the world. If you're passionate about college students, take a couple and go hang out on campus, college campus. Whatever you're passionate about, man, serve and bring others along. You'll get more done. You can't do it alone. You're not God. And guys, if you don't know where to start in this, man, see if your church has a serve week or a weekend or some kind of organized service project or projects. And guys, if you're here at Redemption Church and you're watching this video this week, you're in luck because we're having a serve weekend where we are serving Roanoke. We're serving the police station. We're serving Virginia Heights Elementary. We are serving West End Youth Center. And if you want to be involved, man, email me at jacob@redemptionroanoke.com. We'll let you know how we are serving and we'll plug you in. And during these serve weeks, man, you'll get the question, why are you doing this? This is the perfect opportunity to share the gospel. Share that Jesus served our greatest need in our salvation and for our good. Therefore, we want to serve and love the people of our city for its good and because we love them. So, man, just a couple of steps from here. Pray for the people around you that they would hear and believe the gospel. Invite your community into that prayer. Go tell together. Go serve together. To sum it up, pray and go. Whether that's as a community or one-on-one, whether it's in your home or it's at your workplace. In the Great Commission, God has called us to go. Take a step this week. Guys, again, thank you guys for your time. Thank you for tuning in with us. If you missed any of the videos, they will be online for you. You can go back and check on those and listen to them. And I pray that these videos were an encouragement to you. Man, that's it for today. Thank you for your time. Bye.